This is an All Ears English bonus episode, Election Update, three ways Americans have disgraced democracy. Welcome to the All Ears English podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, coming to you from Denver and Portland, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe. In today's episode, we get political. We'll break down what happened in the US election, what is happening now with the transfer of power, and what we think as we watch all of this in real time from within the United States. Listen in to this bonus episode today. All Ears English is sponsored by Indeed. If you're in charge of hiring at your company, you know that the key to making a great hire is having one easy place to go to find great candidates. That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on All Ears English. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, Jessica, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. I need to stop binging podcasts. I have been just binging too many podcasts lately.
Interesting.
What about you?
Oh my gosh, yes, I am always binging podcasts. It waxes and wanes for me. I go into those binge moments, these months where I'm just like sucking up every podcast I can find. But these days I'm actually feeling pretty relaxed, more relaxed than I was about 2 weeks ago because the election is basically, I mean, the election is over. The election is over.
yeah, technically, yes.
Yes.
It is over.
It is over.
And that is one of the surprising elements we will talk about today, guys. Mm-hmm. But just as a disclaimer, we want everyone to know that Lindsay and I are going to be expressing our personal and strong opinions about politics and our government and country in this episode. So we just wanted to let you know that.
Absolutely, guys. If you feel like you don't want to hear our opinions or it's too much, it's better not to listen to this episode. But a lot of our listeners, we know you guys want to know what's going on right now in the U.S. with the election. There's some weird stuff happening. And maybe you'd like to hear it from our perspective as Americans. So we're going to share that for the listeners who do want to listen. Okay. So, Jessica, what is today's, like, what's the title of today's episode? I mean, what are we trying to present to our listeners?
Yeah. Well, guys, we want to do our best to explain three surprising occurrences around our ideas of democracy that have occurred lately and how we didn't think that these occurrences were possible. And we're learning that there's a whole host of things that are possible regarding politics and what other Americans think and do that still surprise us. And we're going to just talk about why it surprises us and maybe why we think this stuff is happening.
Yeah. So in a sense, this ties in with the principles of American democracy. So it's kind of like, I think it, tell me if this, if you share this sense too, Jessica, we spent our childhood, like our education, learning about American democracy, being told that it's very strong,
And it's foolproof. And there are systems set up that will check and balance each other and that we don't have to worry about it. And I think for me, the day that Trump was elected, the alarm bells went off. And it was the moment, the first time where I felt like, oh, my gosh, is our democracy, could it be at real? Like, how strong is it really? To me, this felt like an ultimate test. The entire presidency of Trump felt like a test of the strength of our democracy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, no, exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head there. It did surprise a lot of us in America, I think, because we assumed that these actions that authorities took were legislated, right? But it turns out that some of the traditions and expectations and actions of our leaders aren't like in the books. They're like sort of unwritten rules. I want to get to the first example because it shows what we're talking about here the most, I think, is this idea of like the president is elected, right? The president-elect, that happens. We have an election. Someone wins, right? And then whoever loses concedes. Whoever loses says, okay, I lost and you won. And that has happened every single time we have a presidential election.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason it happens, usually it happens on election night with a phone call, a personal phone call from the loser to the winner. And the reason it happens is to show the world an example of a peaceful transfer of power and to protect our national security. Because when we're most vulnerable is when there's not a clear leadership hierarchy. We're vulnerable to attacks from the outside. And so that's why that's so important that that happens. But what happened this time, or what is happening currently? I mean, right now, today is November 16th, guys, when we're recording this. This will probably come out next week, but we're at this weird place right now. Jessica, what's happening?
Yeah, so the current president, President Trump has, well, he didn't concede for a very long time, and he kept putting stuff out on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, saying that the media should not elect the president. This is voter fraud and mail-in ballots and blah, blah, blah. And thankfully, social media is taking a stand and labeling misinformation a lot more these days. But yeah, he refused to concede. But I did read a couple days ago that he made a soft concession where he was like, yes, Joe Biden won, but but there was still voter fraud. So that wasn't really a concession.
Sure. I mean, we don't live in a kingdom, right? So he doesn't need to concede. So that's the good news, right? He doesn't have to concede. Joe Biden won. He's going to be the president. He's going to be sworn in January. But it's really a matter of, I guess, setting an example and being in integrity with democracy that he needs to concede and fully concede and endorse the person that won. He needs to say, this is going to be our new president. And it's really about Trump's base, right? Base of followers that he needs to tell them so that we don't have such a divided country, and half the country, less than half, I guess, 35, 40, 45% doesn't believe that Trump lost. I mean, that's a problem.
Yes.
Right.
A very, very high number of Americans believes all of this, that there was large amounts of voter fraud. And what actually, right, if you read anybody who has done research into this, into the election, into all of the mail-in ballots and everything, this was an amazingly impressive election, actually, because more people voted have voted in forever.
Yes.
And it was an extremely secure election because everything was so controlled with the number of ballots and the double checks and the rechecks and all of this stuff.
Exactly.
So the fact that such a high percentage of Americans still just believe baseless accusations. That's the second thing, I guess, that would surprise us, right? That still so many people just believe these outlandish claims.
Exactly. It's going to present a real problem for Joe Biden the day he gets into election. I mean, as of now, as of today, he still, I don't think, has been able to access the information on the coronavirus on the inside, right? There are files, there's information, there's phone numbers that he needs to have access to, we're being told on the news, that he's not getting. Like, the Trump administration just not opening the window. It's not opening like the files for the Biden administration. So,
okay. And yeah. like, doesn't this seem just like a 6-year-old throwing a tantrum?
Oh, totally.
Just like, no, no, whatever. You can't see that. Because who does that help? Oh, nobody.
It's looking more childish by the day. Like,
ridiculous. He just throws tantrums all the time. And that was one of the first actions that Biden did was like, even before he was already forming this new coronavirus task force, because that was one of his biggest sort of claims, right? Mm-hmm. When he was campaigning is like, the leadership has not taken control. That's why the situation is out of control. Mm-hmm. And one of my priorities is to address this so our country can get back to a normal, back to like, right? Having a robust economy. So he had a task force. He has experts ready to go, but they can't because they can't access the information.
Yeah, exactly, Jessica. It's so crazy. I mean, so I guess that would be number one, right? That's the first surprising thing about American democracy that I guess we're all kind of coming to terms with now. To me, it's like a loss of innocence in what I believed about our democracy up until now, right? The president doesn't technically have to concede. He's not going to be able to continue to be president and name himself president, but he doesn't have to concede, so he can make it hard for the new person in these crucial 60, 70 days that Joe Biden absolutely needs to use every minute of this time to prepare.
Yeah. So that definitely shocked me. Exactly. Yeah. I just didn't realize that was even possible that the loser could not concede. Mm-hmm. So the second point, guys, that we touched on just a minute ago, just the extremes that voters have gone to and their willingness to believe wild accusations. Right. So there's a couple phrases here that we're going to explain first. So the first is confirmation bias. Oh, this is such a good phrase.
Good one.
Lindsay, what does that mean?
So this is exactly what social media serves us, right? So if you guys have seen the documentary, The Social Dilemma, that's really what they're trying to show us. And we know this, right? We all know that this is happening to some extent. But basically, confirmation bias is when we already believe something because we've been told to believe it. And then we see something and that confirms our belief. We look for the parts and we that confirm and we dismiss the parts that disagree with our belief.
Yeah. And to some extent, we all do this, right?
Oh,
on both sides,
for sure.
But I was just listening to This American Life episode this morning, and there's a great example of this, guys, to demonstrate confirmation bias, right? Mm-hmm. It's always great to have something real associated with vocabulary so you remember it. Mm-hmm. So there was this viral video that went around of a vote counter in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. That apparently it looked like he just got angry and like ripped up a ballot and threw it away. And this video just went viral. And so all of the Trump supporters are like, see, that's what happened. He's a Biden voter and he threw away the Trump vote or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they went to interview the guy. they found this poll worker. Mm-hmm. And what happened was they use machines to open envelopes so they can count the ballots.
Right.
And what had happened was this machine malfunctioned and it like he caught his finger in it.
Oh, my God.
And so that's why you see him like flinch and like get angry at the machine. He's not angry at the ballot. He can't even see it.
Right.
And then the thing that he like crumples is the envelope that was like ripped off in a bad way.
Oh, my God.
Right. So it's like it has nothing to do with the vote itself. Yep. So anyway, confirmation bias. That's an awesome example.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that, and that's kind of what we get, you know, the social media, the algorithms serve up what we, you know, the comments that we agree with. And then we see that more. And we do increasingly, we're living in two worlds. It's incredible how divided we are now. And it's scary, you know?
It is scary because this, I know people that are, that carry this fear with them, right?
Yeah.
Like people that are prone to anxiety. Like a friend of mine, a mom, she was hiking with her two kids and she said that she like felt physical fear when she saw someone in a MAGA hat, right? That red Make America Great Again hat.
Right.
And like that, it's just sad. It's really sad that we can feel that around other Americans just because of politics right now.
Oh my God, it really is. And so that's another thing that kind of, I guess the surprising part here is just that I never imagined that we'd become this partisan. You know, exactly. This is extreme partisanship. And Joe Biden is kind of the right person for the moment because he has a history throughout his entire career of reaching across the aisle, as they say, working across the different parties. And so I hope he can do that. But I would not want to be him right now. It's a tough job. Really tough job.
Oh my gosh. I mean, when Obama came into office, like post-recession, everybody was like, how is he going to do this? And it's even more so this time. It's even more so like, oh my gosh. Like, what? How? Good luck. Like whatever you can do is going to help.
Exactly.
So the second point, guys, just to sum up, this extreme partisanship is what is surprising us, guys. The lengths that our own, fellow countrymen will go to hate each other just based on politics and true or false information.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So this last part, guys, this is something that you and I, Lindsay, we talked about this in the last election, how surprised we were because according to polls, right, Trump was not supposed to win. Hillary was supposed to win. We have thought some more about why polling is wrong because it was wrong again.
Yeah. This time. Oh, for sure. I mean, because I remember when we did that episode when Trump won, I remember so clearly how shocked we all were.
Yeah.
And it turns out, so I know that the polling companies, this is a big business and it's very, very important because this is how people make decisions on where to spend money in campaigns, how regular everyday voters end up contributing to campaigns. It requires so much accuracy, but it's apparently this time it was actually more off than 2016. Oh, that's what I've heard. Yeah. It was more wrong.
I think that's because of the extreme partisanship, I think, because people know that, like, if they say their real views that they're going to vote for Trump, then they'll receive hatred and they just don't want to deal with it. Right. Like,
I think so. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to share some insight that I gained over the weekend into this, why polls were wrong.
Yeah.
Season 4, guys, of a podcast called Slow Burn. Each season dives into a totally different story, right? So season 4 is about David Duke. He is a famous name, head of the KKK at one point, very like outspoken white supremacist, very proud of his Nazi beliefs, just a horrible person. So this season is about him, and he was actually like elected as like a public official to the House of Representatives in Louisiana. And just like how? So the reason is, guys, because people are embarrassed to say they support this racist person because they know their views are unpopular. And so they don't tell the truth, basically. So the people that are being polled are not telling the truth. And they say they're voting for Biden because if they say they're voting for Trump, they think people will, be mad at them or something.
Yeah. I mean, so I think there's a number of theories, right, as to why. I think it's probably a combination of a number of theories as to why it was so wrong that they call that concept the shy Trump voter, right? That won't admit to anyone's face or even on the phone that they're voting for Trump, but they will because they know it's so like, it's not, I don't know, a lot of people have a cringe effect when they hear that. But I was listening to another podcast on The Daily. If you guys look at The Daily, it's the podcast from the New York Times. Polling person was interviewed on there and he threw out like a bunch of theories. I don't remember them all. And they have to dig a little deeper to know exactly what went wrong, right? Probably it was partly the shy Trump voter. They also say that maybe because Trump has spent 4 years kind of slamming on institutions like the New York Times, which runs the polls, or like Quinnipiac University, right? They wouldn't answer the phone or they're much less likely to even respond to an institution because they don't trust
them. That makes sense.
That could be another. I mean, there are so many theories as to what went wrong.
I just want to add that I think this is the fourth thing. I'm just going to add a bonus point here. The thing that surprises me about how our democracy could be challenged and weakened ultimately is this mistrust of scientists and media and people that do legitimate research, right? Like for the New York Times, for these nonpartisan organizations, just this extreme mistrust that Trump has encouraged and made everybody just like you work for the government, I don't trust you, or right like mm-hmm. I don't trust science, I don't trust newspapers, like who do you trust then?
I mean, it's hard because I do think that the New York Times is very biased, right? It's biased in a certain way. It's a very liberal it's a very liberal newspaper, especially if you read the opinion columns, obviously, but you know, even just the regular news is clearly left-leaning, right? And other newspapers are right-leaning. But I think that ties into the problem with like the way news is funded, the media, the way they make money on ads, and all of that is by kind of like a YouTube model, like sucking you in, more watching. It makes everything so partisan. But news has always been, I guess, somewhat partisan. But I think the local newspapers are also shutting down, which is a major problem.
True.
Right? And that's, I feel like local newspapers have been a little bit less, like maybe more matter of fact, like here's the news, this is what's happening. And
that's true. I mean, nobody like watches the local news anymore, really, because nobody has like just broadcast TV.
This
is like, it all kind of started in the 90s, right? Guys, I'm not going to tell a whole story. I know this is a longish episode, but just what this made me think of was in the, I guess, late 80s, 90s, when news networks started, right? When CNN started, and then you could have like Fox News, MSNBC, and then news did become more partisan. It became 24 hour. It became more sensational, to like make people watch you. So you had to be outlandish in your opinions and views to make people watch you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, gosh, so many roots to our problems today.
Oh my God. That's why they say that Trump was kind of more of a symptom rather than a cause. Like he was the symptom of a larger problem. And I do believe that's true. So the question is, what happens now? Right? What happens with the rest of the transition? And then what happens with the Biden presidency? Can he correct course? I mean, personally, I think it'd be great if he could put into place some laws that prevent things where prevent a president from pushing the boundaries of democracy like Trump did. I hope he's able to implement things like that personally. Yeah.
Man, he has such a big job though. Oh my gosh. I mean, first thing, coronavirus, gotta tackle that. Like we all have to be on the same page so we could move forward as a country instead of going backwards and forwards and locking down and opening up. Yeah. We all gotta be on the same page.
Exactly.
And then secondly, he has to roll back like 1,000 environmental, he has to put back in place 1,000 environmental regulations that Trump let up on, you know?
Like, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, so much to do.
Yeah, that has to be a top priority. I mean, the good news in my opinion is that, you know, Biden is here, Trump's gone, we can relax in that sense. Like, I feel like we've kind of redeemed ourselves in the eyes of the world, maybe.
Yes!
But definitely. You know, the question is, how does it go now? So guys, let us know your questions from today's episode. Come back to the blog. We'll try to blog on this on the blog. And Jessica, any final thoughts here on this update?
Oh my gosh, stay tuned, you guys. We are doing our best to explain all this confusion because I know the rest of the world is as confused as we are. So don't worry, guys, we are educating ourselves. So hopefully we can help you understand.
Absolutely.
America.
All right, Jessica, thanks for hanging out today.
My pleasure.
Talk
all right,
to you
Lindsay,
soon.
Have a
Bye.
Good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.